If you would this evening, take your Bibles with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, and I'd like to draw your attention to a phrase that probably most all of you are very familiar with, and we know it to be the theme of the book of Jude. We find it there in verse number 3, and it says this, to earnestly contend for the faith. This morning we took our passage of scripture from the book of 2 Peter, and we dealt with adding to your faith. Again, the assumption seems to be made that the hearer of this book already has faith. But this evening, the message of Jude differs from the message of Peter, though both of these men were dealing with apostates, people who knew the truth, yet were deceiving people. And both of these books are warning against false prophets and warning against ungodly men. But in Peter, the message was to add to your faith, to build up your faith, to grow in your faith, to add knowledge and virtue and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, and that if we would do these things, we would never fall. We would be fruitful. We would be able to drive forward with vision. But now as we look this evening at the book of Jude, we find the message is not simply to grow in your Christian walk. And the message still stands true. This is not an either or. This is almost but two sides of a coin. And on the one side, it tells us we are to add to the faith. And the second side, we look at it and it asks, and we are called to contend for the faith. Contends the idea of struggling for. As an athlete and the Olympians would have struggled. They would have fought. They would have battled in the arena as two wrestlers are contending to try to pin the other wrestler down. And Jude here calls you and I to contend. Now, we mentioned these things this morning. We mentioned the fact that our world is corrupt. We mentioned the fact that things are not getting better. Can I tell you, there was a young girl in our church, her name's Katie, and she was going to a state school, and she was very, very, very good student, very friendly, and had one of those young ladies who has tons of friends, and one of her friends decided that she wanted to be a boy. And so she went to the NHS and she said, I'd like to be a boy. And they began to watch her, and they watched her for a year, and they decided, yes, she does want to be a boy. And so now the NHS has decided that it is good to give a 12-year-old child hormone-changing pills. And I wonder, when children are being affected like this, or having this kind of an influence in their life, I wonder, what are we, as the older generation, going to do? And the answer is here. This is what Jude has given to you and to me. And it is this, the call to contend for the faith. The truth is, and the reality is, as we look at our generation, very few are truly contending. I wonder this evening, are you contending? I ask myself the question, am I contending? Am I actually fighting and struggling for the faith of Jesus Christ? Notice what it says there. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I love this. Jude gives a definition of himself, and many scholars believe that this Jude was the brother of Jesus, or the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice how he defines himself. The first three words, he says, Jude, the servant. That's the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Here he is, Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ. And he's willing to call himself the bond slave of Jesus Christ. I wonder if you were here this evening and your siblings were here, if you were willing to put your arm around your sibling, your brother or your sister, and say, you know what, I'm willing to be your slave. Now, many of you would love to make your sibling your slave maybe, but very few of us would be willing to actually say, I am a slave to my own brother. But Jude was. And Jude, within this was a recognition from Jude that the Jesus Christ that was his own flesh and blood was truly divine and was truly so much more than simply a man, but he was the Savior of the world. And Jude says here, he says, you know, I am a servant, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ, I'm the brother of James, and I'm writing to those that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. This is a very, very interesting, because what we see here is Jude says, I'm writing to Christians. My message this evening is primarily where Jude's was. It was to Christians. It was to those who are sanctified. They've been set apart. They've been separated. They are pursuing holiness and preserved. They are kept. The Bible tells us that no man shall pluck them out of my hand. They are kept in the hands of Jesus, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. We are called. That's ecclesia, a called out assembly. And God has His people. He always has the children of Israel. We're God's people. His chosen nation. And tonight, you and I are God's people. The church. And He says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And then He says this in verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. And I'll pause there. Notice what Jude is saying. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, Jude was saying, first of all, he was saying this. He was saying, look, I am the servant and brother of Christ, and my first desire, the one thing that I aspired to do, I had even given diligence, I had been passionate about you, this, was to write to you about common salvation. I love how he defines, first of all, of course we know what he's talking about. Salvation is the idea that we have been redeemed, right? We know this. We find these things in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ came to die for lost sinners. The Bible says that He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Isn't it encouraging to think that Christ is seeking the lost? He gives the parable of the woman with the lost coin. And how the woman was searching for the coin. She wanted to find it. He gives the parable of the lost sheep. And if wouldn't you leave the 99 to go and find that lost sheep? He's seeking it. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Eve had taken the fruit and Adam had taken the fruit, Jesus Christ, well, it tells us God, comes and He is searching for Adam and Eve. And He says, Adam, where art thou? And I'm encouraged this evening to tell you this, that Christ is seeking lost souls. He said that. He said it very, you know, it might be the best missions quote of all history. The greatest missions quote in all history was, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'll tell you this evening, if you are lost, I believe that Christ is seeking for your soul. He is looking for you. I wonder this evening, will you respond to Him? As He walks on the Sea of Galilee, He is gazing out to you and to me as He did the disciples on the boat. And He's saying, follow Me. I wonder how you will respond. Will you hear the voice of Jesus say? Will you respond to Him this evening? He is seeking for the lost. And so Jude is saying here, I wanted to speak of that salvation, but notice what he says, it is a common salvation. It's common, it is known. People are familiar with it. It's not some sort of intricate thing. It is not something that is unheard of or rare. It's common. The sad thing is our generation, this salvation is not being common anymore. If you went to people in these streets and said, "Are you saved?" Saved from what? I've never drowned before. No, I'm all right. I was in a car accident, but I survived that. Nobody had to save me out of that. Saved from what? We live in a generation where our salvation is not common anymore. Sure, it may be common in this church. And when we come into the walls of Mount Zion here, we know that people around here know what salvation is, and it's common. But in our generation, it is not common. It is a rare thing. And Jude says, I wanted to talk to you about this common salvation, but, and he goes on, he said, it was needful. He said, I wanted to write about salvation, but something was necessary for me to write about. Something was very important for me to write about. So I didn't send that letter. I didn't get to send to you a letter about common salvation. Instead, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. You know why in our generation it is not a common salvation? Because we are not contending for the faith as we ought to. Jude was writing to these people because in verse number 4, there are certain men that are crept in unawares. Now, Jude was writing about people coming into the church who were coming and bringing unbelief, and they were going to bring in and vile things to the church. And he's saying, look, if these people are coming, they're coming in and you might not even notice it. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're coming in and we don't know about it. But the truth is in our generation, there is no need for people to creep in unawares. People can come in to so many churches in our world, and I'm thankful that it is not prevalent in this church, but you see churches today where men stand up and they preach some sort of false gospel. That if you just give more to the church, then God will bless you. This prosperity gospel. And people are exhorting themselves and using pulpits all across this world and this country to exalt themselves. And they've crept in and they've defiled the church and the body of Christ. And they are drawing people away. They are destroying the work of God in this generation. And so Jude says to you and to me, contend for the faith. Learn to struggle. Learn to wage war. Learn to get passionate about the fact that if we don't contend, who will? So often we come to churches and we find that people are contending. They're contending so greatly, but often they're not contending with false prophets and false doctrines. Often they're contending with each other about things that are unimportant. Oh, well, this guy parked in my parking spot. Can you believe that? And I'm very frustrated. And there's contention in churches all across our land about things that are unimportant. But you and I have to get to a point where we are saying, I'm not going to argue with my brethren. I love them. I have phileo love towards them, that brotherly love. But I'm going to wage war against the enemy. I'm going to wage war against Satan and his minions and all that he's trying to do in this world. Because if we don't contend for the faith, then what's going to happen? Our generation will continue as it is. And we've got to get to a point, you know, contending, it's war, it's fighting, and no doubt we've got to add to our faith first. And Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God, being prepared to go to battle. And it isn't it interesting, so many times we've heard people talk about Ephesians 6. You've probably heard the only piece of armor that seems to be missing is anything to cover the back. You've heard that before, haven't you? There's a breastplate, and there's the belt, and there's a helmet, and there's a shield, and there's a sword, and everything's ready to go forward. But so many of us are not contending for the faith. And we put on all this armor to go forward, and we sit back here and do nothing, and the enemy is stabbing us in the back. The enemy is destroying our generation. And I just desire in my own life, and I can't speak for yours, but I desire in my own life that I would be a man who would be willing to fight for the faith. And he says, earnestly contend. It's the idea of with sincere and intense conviction, seriously. I wonder, are you serious about the work of God? Or are you passive? Are you nonchalant? Are you content? We've got to get serious about it. And we've got to get so passionate and so zealous, because this is what God has asked for us to do. To take the gospel unto the uttermost. Isn't that what the Great Commission was? Go ye therefore unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We think of Matthew 28, and at the end of that, in verse number 20, it says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And you and I, we take that promise and we hold it and we're thankful. God is with us. God wants to be with us. But before He promises to be lo with us always until the end of the world, He promises and He commands us to say, "Go." Before the promise that Christ would be with us is the command for you and me to go with the gospel. Acts 1 talks about how we are witnesses of these things. And Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we have this responsibility to move forward and to progress with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just adding to our faith at home. Adding to my virtue and building myself up, but to go forward and to wage war against the enemy to see something done. I wonder, are you contending for the faith? He continues and he says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Can I tell you, this faith that was once delivered must be continually contended for. Though it's been given to us once, though the message of Jesus Christ was done once on the cross, only once did Christ need to go to the cross. Only once did He shed all of His blood. Only once did He lay in the grave for 3 days. Only once has He risen again. The work was finished. That's what Christ said on the cross. It is finished. It's been completed. It's once delivered. It's done. But our contending is continual. You and I have to keep going forward. We have to keep waging war, or else our generation will be nothing but a slough of despond, a place where there is no hope, where young men and young women are brought up believing that evolution is true. The most unscientific and foolish theories of our day have deceived so many. Why? Because we're not waging war against them. And my message, and it's not even my message, but what the Lord's put on my heart, and I believe we need to take heed to, is that we would contend for the faith. We would contend. Are you adding to your faith? Are you growing in your Christian life? And I wonder this evening, will you drive forward with the message of Jesus Christ? Or will we watch? It's like a river. It's like a stream. Have you ever, when I was a child, I used to go crayfishing. And you'd go into a stream, and the silt was all on the ground, and you would flip over the rock and the crayfish would shoot out backwards and you'd try to catch him with the net. And I don't know if you do that here or not in the United Kingdom, but it was something we would always do in the States. And one of the things about entering to that stream that I learned very quickly was that you wanted to move slowly into the water so as not to stir up the silt, so as not to stir up the dust, so as not to disturb things the way they had settled. But the truth is we need that kind of disturbing in our lives. So many of us are like the silt on the bottom of a stream. We've settled down and we are simply watching as the water rushes by. The world zooms by us and we're given a short 70, 80, maybe 90, maybe 100 years and it just flows by. And we sit on the bottom of the stream, comfortable. But I'll tell you what, God has never called us or asked us or commanded us or even allowed that to be acceptable, that we would be like that. He has not. He's told us to add to your faith. He's told us to contend. He's told us to go ye therefore. He's told us to take the message of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, unto the uttermost, and to wage war, and to confront false doctrines, and to stand up against Satan. You know, it's interesting here, in verse number 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending. Isn't it interesting? The angels are an example here. The archangel Michael is fighting. He's going after it, and it says that he is fighting with none other than the devil himself. That roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. With the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Notice what happens when Michael is standing against this Satan, the prince of the power of the air. When Michael is standing against him, he says he durst not bring against him any railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Can I tell you this evening, if you and I are going to contend for the faith, it will not be in our own might. It will not be in our own ability or our own intellect or our own emotions or our own passion or zeal. It has to be the Lord that works in and through us. It has to be you and me saying, I know I can't conquer this world by myself, but the Lord work through me, work in me, do something amazing. And how many of us, every single one of us would love to see something amazing happen, wouldn't we? We'd love to see something. We would truly love to see a revival happen again in this world. We really would. But that does not mean that we just wait here. And you know, the Crown Christian Heritage Trust, the ministry there that I work with in Droitwich, they just opened a new church building and a new church plant in the city of Welshpool. And the building was going to be closed down, and it was going to be sold to the community there and used for who knows what. And we went there just the other day. And there was another church building just next door. And this church building was a little concerned that they were going to get their church shut down. And so when we were there on that, I believe it was a Tuesday, you know what we discovered? They were having a foot clinic in the church to keep the church open. So they had hired nurses to come in once a week and massage people's feet. Can I tell you something? That's not contending for the faith. Keeping the doors of a church building open with foot massages is not waging war against Satan. Waging war against Satan, contending for the faith, is taking the gospel to the uttermost, confronting the false doctrines of our generation. And I wonder this evening if we will fight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee so much for Thy word. We thank Thee that it's quick and powerful, and I ask that Thou wouldst forgive me for not doing it diligence. Lord, we know that Thy word has more power, and I pray that Thy word alone would speak for itself this evening, that it would impact our hearts and our minds, that it would convict us, and that we would see the need to fight for Thee. Lord, that even in my own life, that I would be so consumed with waging war for Thee and serving Thee and growing for Thee, that ultimately it would just be about glorifying Thy name, Lord. Help us to exalt Christ. Help us to lift Thee up. Help us to make much of Thee as Thou hast asked us to do. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.